Yes, we are live now. I'm so excited as if it's been like such a long time, but it's been a week. Today I'm going to be hosting Narmina from Azerbaijan to talk about her entrepreneurship journey and how to build business. So I'm just going to welcome Narmina and give the floor to her or give the screen to her.
Hello, hi everyone. Hi Farida.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah,
We
I'm just
are
gonna close this. Hold on. Just some of the technical stuff. Okay, technical is done. All good. So, welcome. Really nice to see you, Narmina. For those who don't know, well, we studied in the same school, and the last time we saw each other, it was like back in 2009. After Nar 2009, right?
I actually saw your sister a couple of years ago. Yeah.
So you almost saw me, that's true.
Yeah, you guys look really alike. Yeah, really alike.
Yeah, and yay, hi, Esra. And so, yeah, but since after graduation, of course, a lot of students went abroad, UK, States, Turkey. So it's kind of like a reunion for us as well. So yeah, let's start with you. Let me see. If you want, we can just give like 5 more minutes until people come in. So, and
Yeah,
just see. So, how are
sounds
things
good.
with you?
We were just talking about how our kids have fallen asleep, so we have the deserved me time right now.
The mother too.
Yeah, mom of two. Speaking of which, kids that are right now currently a little bit sick, a little bit under the weather, so handling a little crisis at home. Also, a crisis all over the world.
Anything else to add? I didn't hear that yesterday the weather went so bad, like suddenly it was super hot, and then like I don't know, in a second, just like black clouds, everything like just went off really bad and
Was
rain
yesterday,
and
right?
so on. Yeah, like what's going on? And then it just stopped, like, okay, already we're going through so much, and then this like crazy rain, it was terrible. But yeah, again, we're back to normal sunny weather today.
Yeah, in Baku it's also very, very hot. It was 30 degrees, abnormal heat. And right now the usual, well, you haven't been to Baku maybe in a couple of years, but the usual Baku wind is picking up right now.
Oh God.
And the weather is expected tomorrow, so
The Baku weather and the wind. Oh my God.
yeah, for those
My
who don't know,
trouble.
Baku is a city of winds. Winds that literally lift you up and like throw you
You're there. Like
into its environment.
I gave up. I think it was my last year, by the way. I gave up on like with my hair completely because it was taking me actually 10 minutes to walk to school. But even during that time, I don't know how, like the moment I come to school and my hair is just like all gone. Thank you. Thank you, wind. I just straightened my hair. Thank you.
Yeah, no, no point, no point.
Well, yeah, okay. So people are slowly coming in, but I'd like you to actually introduce yourself. What do you do? What did you study? And then we'll come to your business part.
Well, just like Farida said, you said earlier, we went to International School of Azerbaijan together, and I graduated in 2009. And then after that, my dream was to study in a college in the US, preferably in New York. And my dream college was Columbia. Unfortunately, I didn't get into Columbia, but I got into NYU. I got into New York University.
I'm done.
We, and I'm actually very, very glad that things worked out the way they worked out. I lived in New York for 4 years. And then I studied politics and Middle Eastern studies. Did a couple of interesting internships, tried to figure out what it is that I'm truly interested in, what I'm truly passionate about. Then came back home to Baku, got married, and then slowly started my entrepreneurial path, let's say. And right now I have my own startup, which I co-founded with a business partner. who is in Paris right now. Hi, Aygün. I don't know if she's watching or not. She also has a newborn. She's probably handling the baby right now. And yeah, so we own a startup called Baby Mama. Well, we'll go into detail about it in a little bit. But yeah, that's the little introduction about me. I'm a mom of two.
Always we say like I know from her life, she's busy with her work startup business. I see, of course, with her kids. I mean, it's so much will come into this. I don't know how you manage your time, but it's really inspiring for me and for those who, which I'm sure they'll get really inspired by this as well, because we all know it's not easy to raise kids. And meanwhile, it's not like you're going to work and coming back. It's just you have to put so much time and like your head and into this. So we'll come to that.
In the past, I'll just say something. In the past, when people, you know, would say a compliment or would, you know, say something nice to you, in the past, I would, my reaction would be, don't say that. Oh, no, that's not true. And over the years, I've learned, and which I advise to everyone, I've learned to accept the compliment and to say, thank you very much. Yes, I worked very hard on that. The compliment.
Well, that's good. I mean, you should realize, like, we were talking at one point about, like, achievements and stuff, like, sometimes people do it and they maybe don't realize it, or they cannot talk easily about it.
Yeah. And they downgrade themselves.
It's something to accept, actually, because it's a lot of like hard work that you put into. You put your heart, your time, everything else into it. And when clearly people hopefully make compliments like nicely, they well, I really mean it, because I know what you've been going through. Like, I've been following it, so, and I know it's not easy also from my side as well. That's why, from my
side. I also wanted to, let me say a nice thing to you as well. I also want to commend and say that, you know, I really admire when girls of your age, they make bold, courageous moves, and they're not afraid of what everybody else is thinking of them, and they do what they think is right for them. I really, really admire what you're doing, and I know with your persistent and with your, you know, enthusiastic spirit, things will work out the way you want them to work out. No, I really truly admire. I admire courage in people a lot, and that is what you have.
Thank you. Yay, now I got even more motivated, so I needed that. Okay, well, you said that you did so before building your business, you worked or you did some internships. Were they related to what you're doing at the moment, or were they completely like different thoughts at that time?
Completely different, because growing up in Baku, in Azerbaijan, I mean, I don't know if your followers are more from the Middle East region or from all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of grow up hearing that, you know, real good professions are, you know, being a doctor, being a teacher, being, I don't know, a lawyer, being a diplomat. Those are the kind of accomplished professions. And we don't really hear about, you know, other kind of professions, other kind of, you know, directions that you could choose. And I was kind of cultivated into thinking that I would be an amazing diplomat, an amazing politician. Well, in Baku, it's a little bit, it's a tricky path to choose for a woman, especially. Situation is obviously getting better and better now. And so, yeah, I thought that politics is what I wanted to study. And I gradually expanded the field of interest and concentrated on the Middle East mostly, because I thought I would come and work for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs here or work at an embassy eventually. So my internships were all related to, I did an internship in Morocco, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, whole summer I worked at the embassy in Morocco. And it was a very, very, very interesting experience, because I was also learning Arabic at the time. So I got to practice. Mm-hmm. When I got to Morocco, Moroccan Arabic is not the Arabic that they taught us in school, because it's a mix of, you know, French and Tamazight, which is a Berber language. And, you know, when they first started talking to me, I literally felt so inadequate that, you know, I've spent all these 2 years learning Arabic and I just could not understand anything. And I also did internships for 2 years, actually, at the permanent mission of Azerbaijan in the UN, at the UN. And those are, like I said, were related to my major back then, but not related to what I'm doing right now. But my advice to everyone is to take these opportunities that are given to you, or if they're not given to you, go look for them, go search for them for sure. And try yourself while you're in college in different fields. I also did some internships in fashion field, because first year, living in New York, I thought that, you know, I could do some glamorous, glossy kind of a career. Try that out. It was fun. I'm glad I tried it out. I was literally like the girl from Devil Wears Prada, like crying every day because, you know, my managers were just bullying me and like making me cry at work. I very soon realized that no, it looks glamorous on TV, but it's not glamorous. Because you're literally just running with a bag with pulled looks for like Sarah Jessica Parker in the middle of Times Square with all the traffic, and you're trying to just get a bag to some destination. You know, you're just being an intern in that field is not fun.
No, but that's, I mean, that's a really good point, actually, saying like you tried so many different internships, I mean, related or unrelated to your profession, but during university time and maybe after graduation as well. But it helps you actually to realize what you don't want.
For sure.
Because even me, when I was studying, like in the beginning of the first year when I was studying psychology, I was like imagining myself as like top, I don't know, clinic embargo. But here's the thing.
Do you remember those videos that we would watch in our psychology class? Philip Zimbardo.
I'm gonna try laughing at this, but oh god, yeah. So I mean, I was inspired back then in high school because I was taking psychology classes, so I went into psychology and I had different thoughts. And when after I started doing those internships that I thought that I wanted for future, late, like with those internships, I actually understood that that's not what I want. Like, I feel like if I never did it, maybe after graduation, that would be the first job I would take. But it's helped me during university to try like different fields, like research assistants, I don't know, working with kids, working with adults, therapy and all that. And then like, and working with a startup, I think it was my last year, especially when I worked with a startup, that's when I like, okay, this is, I love the dynamics. I love the energy. That's like something I would want. So it definitely really helped.
I think when you're a college student, you just think that, you know, summers are for relaxation, summers are for having fun, like whatever break you can take from education in college time, you just, you know, want to go and just do nothing, basically, because you have very intense schedules. But I just think that we should instead concentrate fully on using these summers in between school goes as fruitfully as possible.
Definitely. Yeah. I would I second that, let's say. And so after you graduated, you said you came to Baku. Did you have time between like starting a company, or did you give yourself time, or you worked in a different place?
I actually tried myself in an office setting. I went and worked for a state company. I worked there for 3 months, and it was not really related to my educational fee to my background, but I just thought that maybe, you know, I wanted to try myself in an office setting from 9 to 6, and very soon after 3 months, I realized that it's not for me. Our office was located on the boulevard, and I could see the boulevard and the sea, and I wanted freedom. I felt like a bird in a cage. I needed to escape.
We all had that energy. I mean, since we remember each other from school, like, we were also in girls' football team for those.
Oh, yeah.
We were there. And so, like, Narmina had that energy, like, to do things, actually. Like, I always say, like, really positive and excited. So it really makes sense to me to hear, like, how you want more freedom, more to, like, get out there and do other things. More, yeah. I think, being active. Like, I see the connection between you and this, like, active, dynamic lifestyle.
Yeah, I like to be helpful. I like to be active. I like to be in a dynamic environment for sure. And yet being in a like a caged bird from 9 to 6 was not for me. And also, most importantly, in a work setting, it's important to be learning new things every day, to be developing new skills. And that's what I felt like I wasn't doing there. And I felt that I was just losing time, especially after college. You just want to apply your knowledge as much as you can and experience things. And I was just, you know, sitting in an office and, like, writing documents and writing reports and stuff. So, yeah, I escaped. Very glad I escaped. And after that, I actually met with my childhood friend who also went to TESA. Well, I don't know if she's watching, but if she is, hi, Ellie. she graduated from TESA, I think, in like 2007, 6 maybe. So she's a little bit older than me. Mm-hmm. And we just met for coffee, and she was working on her startup back then. And it was just an idea that she was working on. And I was like, oh, why not? I'll help you. Let's do this together. And I joined her. I think that was around 2013. I was pregnant with my son. And it was very dynamic, very fast-moving, fast-paced sort of environment to be in.
Wow, that's crazy. Like, I mean, especially when you think of pregnancy, you think that, you know, you need to, like, relax and all, but I also know how active you were during that time. You guys were, I think, meeting a lot, planning the whole thing. So coming to that part about entrepreneurship, before we go on, what is entrepreneurship for you?
Well, I think it's as an entrepreneur, you identify a niche, you identify what does not exist on the market, and you try to fill out that niche. And it's important for you as an entrepreneur to be solving a problem. A lot of people think that, you know, I have this great idea and I want to, I don't know, start this, I want to try this, but it might sound great when you say it out loud, but it might get you excited, but it doesn't actually mean that it is going to work. And so as an entrepreneur, you should identify that there is some sort of a problem that you should be solving, you should be fixing for your customers. And I mean, I know how easy it is to get excited about ideas. I'm generating ideas like every single second. I write them down and I come to my husband and I say, I have the next best idea. And he always, you know, says, okay, let's think about this. And then
that's great. I mean, I think that's how it needs to work. Like, sometimes I totally feel you about that. I'll come back to that a bit later. You just, like, made me think of my moments as well. And so, like, when you were starting, so because you worked with your friend on your first, like, when building business, right? That was the first time you actually got into this whole startup world. Did you know, like, you're entering such a thing? Like, what's going on in my head? Like, what am I doing? Am I going to be able to pull this off? Like, what was it like for you?
To be honest, no, at all. It's not like in the case, the business was called Semlibala, which in translation from Azerbaijan means favorite child. We kind of went with the flow. I mean, we had some sort of a business plan. It wasn't very well thought through, but it was a business plan. Mm-hmm. But most things happened very fast. Because at first it was a website with, you know, helpful information for moms, ladies. And then within 2 months, 3 months, we decided that, you know, oh my God, there's so much interest. We started organizing events, and events got, you know, people started, you know, buying tickets, people starting saying, oh my God, you guys should organize more and more events. Then suddenly Fairmont hotels started calling us and saying that, you know, we want to work with you guys. More hotels, more different organizations saying that, oh, you guys are the next best thing. We decided after that to open up our own kids club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one kids club, then it turned into two kids clubs, then it turned into two summer camps, and it all happened over 2 years, I think. And I managed to have my first child, and then I got pregnant with my second one. So I mean, those were very, very fun and exciting times, and I had to learn a lot on the spot. This is what I actually wanted to emphasize, that you can read a lot of literature and you can read a lot of articles. You can talk to specialists, but a lot of the things are actually learned on the spot if you do not go out there and try new things and don't learn by making lots of mistakes, then there will be no growth. And that's what we did. That's what I did at Semli Bala, because I became the executive director, and obviously never been an executive director before. And I just had to learn on the spot. Every single day there was growth. You could not be in your little cocoon in a comfortable place, because, you know, every day we would be getting a new project, a new proposal, more and more clients.
Grow the business. You had to develop it, you had to grow, you had to reach out to people. It wasn't just like a product like to be sold. It was, you were working with people. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then you also learn how to work with clients, how to work with kids, what is interesting, what might sound interesting to you, what might sound like a good idea to you, does not actually work when you implement it. So yeah, a lot of learning on the spot, and I grew a lot. And I think very fondly of those years. And I right now at Baby Mama apply a lot of the knowledge that I gained there.
That's wonderful. And can you tell us about your current business? Can you tell us about Baby Mama? What is it? What do you do there? When did you start it?
So a couple of weeks ago, I had a live on Instagram with a pop culture figure in Baku. He is this very famous member of comedy club, Bahram Bagirzadeh. We were talking about Baby Mama, and he was asking me a lot of questions about you know, building a business, what we do, this and that. And I tend to get so passionate so into talking about Baby Mama. I was reading some comments while I was talking, and people in Azeri were writing, oh, this girl talks so much. Can this girl shut up already? So one guy wrote, when will you get tired?
Those are more I don't know if they realize, but people are like begging to hear more about the business. I mean, there's so much to learn. Like sometimes even if you're not in it, like today we're going to learn so much from you. Like, I mean, it will be something to add to our knowledge, something we can apply. So you're free to talk.
It's also important to choose an audience correctly. In general, when, you know, if you're a blogger, or if you have your own YouTube page, or you have your own Instagram page, it's very important to analyze what your followers are interested in. I mean, your followers maybe are on your page, for example, because you're a beauty blogger, and then suddenly you invite a psychologist who talks about abusive relationships, for example, and half of your followers are leave the page, and they're just like, why is she, you know, why is she giving us this information? We don't need it. We just want to hear about the latest Chanel, I don't know, perfume or whatever.
No, that's totally agree. But so considering our channel, we're here to grow with you and to get inspired. So we're ready. I'm ready to hear your story on Baby Mama. How did it start? Like, what was the process like? What was the growth like? So
Well, when I joined Sevimli Bala back then, which was what, 6 years ago, on that first meeting with my business partner back then, I told her how my dream, my biggest dream, was to create a prenatal center in Baku. Mm-hmm. So I voiced this dream 6 years ago. But things moved, you know, at a very fast pace that I kind of didn't have time to make that particular dream come true. Mm-hmm. And then one day, this was 3 years ago, I was doing actually an entrepreneurship course on HBX, which is the Harvard Business Online mm-hmm. School. And I just wrote on Instagram, texted a picture. I was all alone in Starbucks. There was no one around me. So I wrote a caption saying I booked Starbucks for a party of one. And my current business partner, she texted me. She's like, oh, my God, you're in Starbucks. I'm here, too. Coming to you right now. So she comes and we start talking about this and that, about life, catching up. And we've known each other since childhood as well. And then by the end of the meeting, we're like, why don't we start business? It sounds like, you know, we're vibing. We understand each other. We're on the same wavelength. Why don't we do something about this? So then our next meeting, we just started brainstorming about ideas. And I told her how, you know, I've always wanted to create a prenatal center. Mm-hmm. And she said that she's been researching and, you know, has been interested in opening a baby spa in Baku. Mm-hmm. And also back then when I was pregnant with my son, there were no prenatal centers in Baku. And obviously I had the support of my family and obviously had the support of my friends, but no one around me was pregnant. I was literally felt like the lone pregnant woman in Baku. and nobody could understand me. I wanted to complain. Yeah. And no one, I felt unheard, basically. I just wanted to meet another pregnant woman and to just say, do you have the same? Do you have, I don't know, cramps? Do you have headache? Do you get tired? And I felt like I was just, you know, talking. I'm sure you understand. And back then I was thinking that, oh my God, if there was, I don't know, some sort of a pregnancy course, if there was some sort of a, I don't know, a club where I could meet like-minded people and we could just all sit and complain for hours. Why has no one thought of this before?
There's a need for that in Istanbul.
Yeah, there is a need.
There is a big need, especially for international people. Like, especially the area I live in, it's full of international people because they have a lot of, you know, embassies, diplomatic banks and stuff. So, and it's very common to see a lot of pregnant ladies who probably don't know who to communicate with, who to talk to, what to do. So I think you might consider that for a future expanding your business.
Another great idea.
Expand to Turkey, do it.
And the thing is, abroad, these kind of prenatal centers are a norm. So in the US, they're a norm. In the UK, they're a norm. All over Europe, it's a norm. Your hospital has prenatal courses that you attend together with your husband. And it could be Lamas courses. It could be hypnobirthing. They basically prepare you for labor. And you automatically, when you see a doctor gives you, you know, a sheet of paper and it says, for this and this, see this specialist. For this and this, go to, your sister just wrote, we need that in Belgium too. Hi, Vera.
Someone who went with two kids. Yeah, she actually needed that, I think, the most.
Coming to you to the rescue. So yeah, you handed out that sheet and just have all the answers for physical therapy, see this person, for prenatal massage, see this person. So you don't feel alone. You could go find a doula. You could go, find their special apps actually, which I later discovered, that show you in your vicinity all the pregnant women. whoever obviously had downloaded that app. So you just hit them up and you say, hey, I happen to live, I don't know, on the street. Let's go. Do you want to go for coffee? Mm-hmm. And these sort of practices are normal. So, and I was personally was inspired by all of that. And I thought that, you know, we definitely need a prenatal center in Baku. But as this idea, as we started brainstorming more and more with my business partner, who, like I said, is in Paris now. She lives in Paris, actually. And we sat down, wrote a business plan, and we decided that, you know, it's going to be this this center with various services, and it's basically going to cover three stages of life for women. Mm-hmm. The first stage is going to be pregnancy. The second stage is going to be postpartum recovery, and the third stage is going to be when she's a young mom. So yeah, this is my introduction to Baby Mama.
No, I love it, and it's so true. Like when this started in Azerbaijan, like, there's no such thing. I mean, I think by that time I lived in Istanbul, but when I heard it, I was like, that is so cool. Like, oh, look, you can do this. Oh, and then by the way, the page, like when you go to the website and their Instagram page, you see this really cute baby swimming, getting massage, like, what?
Me in Baby Mama is literally people. My team members, they make fun of me. I just walk around saying, oh my God, what a cute baby. Oh my God, look at these feet. Oh my God, let's kiss this first baby. It's just me and my loud, excited voice. Like,
especially them swing, they get this, what do you call that? The float around the neck.
Oh, we don't put that around the neck because we teach them newborn swimming.
I saw like a couple of them, like they put for like swimming or something like that. Then they do this, like they have these little munchkin feet and legs, they do massage to them and stuff like that.
So yummy.
But it's incredible, like how old are they when they are learning to swim? Like they're babies.
Except this is my daily, you know, introduction to the clients. What is Baby Spa? We accept kids from first month and until a year and a half. So basically when they the baby spa, they're obviously at the time when we started off you know, incorporating baby spa into our center, there were no other baby spas, and then as soon as we opened, like four other centers opened, which is great actually, because that means that more kids have access to, more babies have access to this practice, because kids, when they're newborns, they don't really get that much activity. They're just, you know, we give them some tummy time, try to play with them a little bit. We our parents like to, you know, grandparents like to throw them into the air. Those are the sort of activities that newborns get, and they really need to be need to do some sort of exercise as well. Mm-hmm. So when they come to the baby spa, they get a massage, gentle massage, then they do gymnastics on a special gymnastics ball and special massage tables, and then they go and swim in the pool together with the instructor. The earlier you bring your baby, the better results will be, because when they are in our bellies, they are in a, they're basically in a watery environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a normal environment for them. So when you put them in water as early as possible, then they learn swimming because they have those instincts from the first day. And for example, if you bring your kids later on when they're 3 months old, they start to gradually forget those instincts. And usually the youngest babies, they'll learn swimming faster than kids that come later on at like 9 months or 1 year. And some of them, you know, can dive, some of them can actually swim. It's amazing to see the development of babies, that, you know, just a week ago this baby could not lift their head, now the baby lifts its head. He couldn't, you know, move his feet or open his arms fully, and then he does. Those are
really helpful. I follow it for that, especially, I mean, it's so common as well in terms of massage for babies. That's pretty common in Azerbaijan, for example. It wasn't something I could find in Istanbul. That's something that I wanted. And then I got to do it to mine, like when we went to Baku, when I stayed there for 2 months or something. That's when I was getting, and it's, you're right, like it really helps me change them so much. It helps for better sleep as well. I think so.
Yes, and the definitely.
Really helps.
The biggest feedback that we get after the baby spa is that babies sleep for 2-3 hours. They just pass out, they're happy, they eat more, they eat better, they have less colics. they're just happier babies overall.
I mean, just look at that. Like, who wouldn't? Where is it? There you go.
Like, yeah, this baby is now 1 year old and he still comes to the baby spa. He doesn't look like that anymore. He's not that chubby anymore.
I mean, you'll see like so many lovely, adorable children, especially like just watch the stories. Like, I love it when they're swimming. But that's wonderful. I mean, like I was saying, in Baku, for me, it was like quite unusual when I heard. So when this was opening, but it was great. Like, I wish I lived and could come. My question, though, so when kids are swimming, do you have like the trainers, teachers, who are taking care? And then what do mothers do?
Well, in an ideal scenario. In an ideal scenario, mom would go work out or mom would go get a massage. We also actually have a beauty salon as well. She could go.
Oh, yeah, right in the center.
Yes, she could go get her hair done, nails done, whatever she wants. That's the ideal scenario. So it's basically you are a mother. Your needs are covered from pregnancy until you become a young mom. And then later on, babies, this is actually a new service that we added, because we at first only had the baby spa for kids. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, well, these kids grow up and they like our center, then, and why, and they know us and we know them, then why don't we add more services, mm-hmm. and offer them, you know, developmental classes? Why don't we add them, include, I don't know, music classes, gymnastics classes? So those little kids, they come to our, you know, master classes, to mm-hmm. our, well, we have these classes called play and study. They come to our play and study. So we see them from the, they meet us in the belly, and then, you know, they are with us until they turn one or two.
Here says she hears only positive feedback. Well, she's in Baku, so she also hears.
Yeah, come visit. Come visit next week.
And was it scary for you to realize that you are now, like, you're opening with a friend, you're opening a business. Oh my God, I'm growing it. People are actually approaching. Like, how did it feel like for you when you realized that you're getting so much high interest in this?
I think it's a huge responsibility for sure. I think when you commit to your entrepreneurship journey, it's a real commitment. You cannot disconnect. You have to be, you know, online 24/7. You are constantly, you know, fixing things, constantly innovating, constantly coming up with new ideas, testing new hypotheses, analyzing those results, coming up with new services, and you are not only responsible for your team, because you want your team to be happy, to enjoy what they're doing, you want them to develop, you are also responsible for the kids and for the pregnant ladies that come to your center, and we take their well-being and safety into very seriously. And I think when we had our first 1 month old baby at the baby spa, this was, I don't know, almost 2 years ago, I almost had a heart attack. It was our first 1 month old baby. And I was like, oh my God, this little baby. I even came up to our instructor and I was like, are you okay? Can you handle this baby? She's like, I've been training for this for months. Of course I can do this. I was just like, I'm gonna leave you alone. I hope you'll be fine. So it is a huge responsibility. It can be scary at times, because I don't know, when you have an unhappy customer, those things obviously happen and you have to find ways to make everyone happy. So yeah, it's a huge, huge commitment. And I think before you decide to start your own business or to develop a new startup, you really need to question how serious your intentions are, whether you are ready to just give all of yourself to this business, because it will really take over your life. Our manager likes to make fun of me and of my business partner that whenever she texts us, even if it's at 3 a.m. or 8 a.m. or 11 p.m., we always answer straight away. Like, last night we actually had a little crisis, and I was writing to the manager at 2 a.m. and then she texts me back at 6:30, and she's like, "When did you sleep? When did you go to bed?" So for a business owner, for an entrepreneur, this is normal, because it becomes your baby. It is literally my baby. That's how I like to think of it, and I know my business partner thinks of it the exact same way.
But I think that's exactly the way, especially because it's not like a product you're working actually with a pregnant woman with kids. So as you said, it's very important for you, their happiness, their well-being, so everything goes right. And it's a big responsibility. Like, it's not something easy to take on, be like, just leave it all, tomorrow I'll get back to it.
It's really not.
You have to be like 24/7. You're either thinking about it or something happens, you just have to like be able to get back to the person. So in terms of your business, I think there's much higher risk or responsibility.
And I think you should not let that responsibility paralyze you. Hmm. At times I know certain types of people, they sometimes feel paralyzed by the constant sense of responsibility. To them, it becomes like a burden. You should not let your business, startup, or whatever burden you, because then there's no
bring you joy. Scared, maybe in the middle, and they just don't want to continue it anymore. Maybe it's scared.
Which I mean, a lot of people, there will be difficulties on the way, many difficulties, but you just kind of have to keep going if that's your real dream.
Mm-hmm. We have a question here. Let me put. Actually, I had a similar question as well. What were the challenges you faced, and you receive any criticism? And addition to that, if you do receive these criticism, how do you react, and how do you like try to solve them?
I think I actually learned at TM Libala, so this was way back, that criticism is good. That you should, always listen to criticism, and there is nothing that cannot be fixed. That any problem can be solved. This is our manager at Baby Mama. She always says that the greatest wisdom that she learned from me is that everything is fixable. There is a problem. Let's come up with solutions. Because when you sit and have your initial reaction of panic, tears. Fear, whatever, that doesn't solve anything. It doesn't solve anything. You just, okay, it came, those reactions came to you, take a deep breath, now let's start solving these problems. And obviously in any workplace, in any business, in any, government structure, anywhere you work, there are always problems. What are actually, because there were no similar prenatal centers or just centers like Baby Mama before, we had to, come up with the structure ourselves, come up with the price points ourselves, come up with the programs, with the standards for services ourselves. Mm-hmm. That, for example, we've never seen a baby spa before. We only saw at that point, videos of a baby spa, of these cute babies swimming in pools. And then when we started doing research, there was actually, so many underlying questions like which temperature should the water in the pool should be at, temperature of the room, what kind of filters do you need to use? What kind of tests should the instructor take before she goes into the water with the babies? What kind of oils to use, what kind of materials to use with the kids? There were so many questions that we had to find answers to ourselves. It's not like we were given a handbook and that this is how to open a successful baby spa. It really wasn't. And we had to, see a specialist, mm-hmm. talk to pediatricians, gynecologists to see how to build the structure of the services that we were going to offer. We took courses in Moscow together with the team. We flew to Moscow to learn newborn swimming. I actually also learned it. I am a certified newborn swimming instructor. I don't have experience, unfortunately, but I like to do.
That's so good. So you guys, you had the idea. Yes, you wanted to start it, but Actually, there's a really long process of educating yourself so much in different areas than actually starting it.
Exactly. And you figure all of that out and you're like, okay, all right, now I know how to build this baby spa. Now I know how to order the swimming pools from. Mm-hmm. Now I know how to teach labor prep to pregnant ladies. And you're like, oh, how do I find people to do all of this? And yeah. The next challenge is to find people.
That's probably one of the top, like, I'm sure people are also interested. Like, you learned so much, you knew what you were doing, you're starting it, and how will you bring people? Where will you find them? Search for them.
That for us was literally, I think, the most difficult, the most challenging part. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, there were no baby spa specialists. So I had to go find these people from hospitals, go call, I don't know, 15 different doctors. And I called the aunt of an aunt of an aunt, called the aunt of this gynecologist, pediatrician, and like literally spoke to half of the city to find the right people that have mm-hmm. had at least some kind of experience with, you know, newborn swimming or had some sort of experience with teaching yoga classes to pregnant ladies. Mm-hmm. Because nobody wants to take that responsibility onto themselves, or there were no specialists who were willing to do pregnancy massage. So we spent months and months and months looking for those people. We obviously had to train all of them. And we also in the process had to learn a lot of new things with them. I remember another challenge was actually finding the space, the physical space for the business. That was also tough because, you know, you can build a beautiful space on paper, but actually making it come to life is tough. How to, you know, how to use this room, how to use this, you know, this space efficiently, what kind of design to do for the space to look cozy. Everyone who comes to our center says that it's very cozy. And you know, you just feel at ease, you feel at peace. We have this yoga music playing in the background, meditative music playing in the background all the time. So we have a lot of greenery, we have, you know, soft blue, baby blue, baby pink colors. When you're in Baku, please come visit.
I can't, of course, planning to visit Baku sometime soon, hopefully when things get better and we can fly.
Yes, I can't host your daughter, unfortunately, in the baby spa, but we'll host her somewhere else.
We can do yoga.
Yeah, mom and baby yoga, yeah.
Wow, that's just, like, I really love hearing all this part, like how you guys managed to, this, especially that part of hiring people. It must have been extra harder for you because most of the startups, like, they would just announce it, like they'd go on social media or LinkedIn, like, you know, you just announce, oh, we're looking for someone like this. But you had to make sure, you had to go search around, and it definitely, I think, was a longer path, but managed. So well done on that.
Yeah, you can't just put an ad on Instagram and say, I'm looking for a baby spa specialist. Like, what baby spa? What is that?
Baby spa specialist.
Yeah.
But it's also good. What I like about Baby Mama is that, as we said, like, it's one of the first that opened in Azerbaijan, in Baku. I think it became inspiring for other people, and also to realize that they can go to such centers, that they can go for the baby's health, for baby's development. Meanwhile, the mother's mental state and well-being as well, which she can do at the same time while baby's being taken care of. It's a very, like, important thing, and I think it's motivating and increasing the attention of the woman in Azerbaijan.
This is actually what I'm passionate about the most, probably. Well, I was personally inspired by my own journey because my first child was born via C-section, and I gave birth to my daughter myself, the second child. And I did it because, obviously, because I'm a superwoman, but also superwoman. All women are superwomen, and we can all do it. But also because I did a lot of work. I did a lot of work in terms of reading about labor, reading the literature on the internet, the latest research articles about, you know, whether it's good for you or not. I attended so many, I happened to be abroad. I was very lucky to be abroad at the time. I attended different pregnancy schools. I went and saw different physical therapists, did prenatal massages. And, you know, I realized that everything is in your hands, that if you want to give birth yourself, you can actually learn about the process a lot and go give birth yourself. Because in Azerbaijan, in Baku, there's a very high C-section rate. Yeah. And we actually did this research a couple of months ago because we are currently working on this one social project. The highest C-section rate is in Turkey in the world. The highest C-section rate is in Turkey.
It is not surprising.
And Azerbaijan is not that far behind. I mean, it's not as alarming as it is in Turkey, but there is an upward trend that since 2000, up until 2015, the C-section rate has increased by, I don't know, 12 or 15 points, which is crazy. And I am, I obviously understand that women have different journeys, but I am sometimes upset to see how, you know, doctors don't empower women and don't encourage them to give birth themselves. They don't encourage them to breastfeed themselves. In the center, at Baby Mama, one of the biggest goals that we have is to educate the woman, to empower them. Because I know pregnancy is a tricky period. You feel hormonal, you feel emotional, you go through, you know, tantrums, you doubt yourself, you don't feel beautiful, and you basically need support, and you also need to have a lot of knowledge so you can have a dialogue with the doctor. For example, I witnessed at home when I was pregnant with my son, the 18-year-old girls would come to the gynecologist and say, "Oh, doctor, I'm so scared of giving birth myself. Is it scary? Is it painful?" And the doctor would just see this 18-year-old and say, "Oh, you know, let's not risk it. You're gonna do C-section on October 18th. I'll see you then, you know, just try not to gain weight by that time. We'll just, you know, cut you and everybody's gonna be happy." I understand the doctors and I understand the girls. The girls don't have the knowledge. They don't have the education. They don't understand what to expect in the labor process. All they hear are, in most cases, myths, stories from their moms, grandmas, and they all had given birth years and years in the Soviet Union. You know, back then everything has changed so much since then, and they all think, you know, that it's going to be painful, that there will be tears, that I don't know, that it never ends, that it's much easier to get a C-section. And once again, I am not saying that C-section is bad. There are cases when, you know, C-section saves people's lives and the moms and the kids' lives, but just blindly assigning C-section to women, I just don't think that's empowering for her. Yeah. Because when you give birth yourself, you literally feel like you can do anything in this world. You literally feel like, I think that was like the biggest highlight of my life when I gave birth to my daughter. I just felt like, oh my God, where is Mount Everest? I can climb Everest right now, right this moment, I'm ready. It is really empowering because you're like, if I can do this, and this was really difficult, and I did it, then I can do anything in the world. And I really, really want a woman to experience that, to believe in themselves. And when an educated, like I said, mother, pregnant woman comes to a doctor and asks, you know, interesting questions, has a dialogue with the doctor has more faith in them. And then she's an empowered mom. Then we also have, for example, courses for newborn care courses with pediatricians. And teach them how to take care of your newborn. It's a scary period when your baby's crying all the time, pooping all the time. I remember the first time my son, he still had his belly button. And what happened it was supposed to fall on the 7th or 8th day, I don't remember, and it still hadn't fallen, and he pooped all over the place, and his belly button was covered in poop, you know. And so I remember calling the pediatrician and asking them, oh my God, is this normal? What do I do? How do I wash him? Is he going to get infected? Is the belly button going to get infected? And those are the questions that we answer, you know, beforehand, because on the spot when the baby is born, so many things happen every single day, every single minute. You don't really have time to, oh, let me whip out my book and, you know, read chapter 18 on how to deal with dogs. You know, you kind of have to be ready beforehand. And that is what we do at our center. We prepare women for pregnancy, for labor, and for motherhood.
And that, I'm sure, for those who have experienced it, they must have experienced a much easier path than most, like you said, if you're not educated, if you don't know much, maybe you feel more negative and you get more negative emotions than just actually being supported like this. So I think it's really good to be supported like this, whether with education, with sports, with baby's development. It helps both for the mother's well-being as well, because we know how crazy women can get after pregnancy. So I mean, like, you know, because of the hormonal things, like, it affects emotions, it affects a lot of things. So it's good to be educated in this way. And what about, like, building business, since you already experienced let's say this is your second, and what can you tell, like, tips, can you give us, like, at least three tips for building a successful business?
There's this one quote that my husband said to me a couple of years ago. I actually don't know who said the quote. It is, I am a perfectionist by nature, and I want everything to be perfect. And he said this line to me, that perfect is the enemy of good. And I absolutely agree with that quote, because if you, when building a business, strive for perfection and you get upset by the little setbacks and the little failures that you have, then you will miss on an opportunity to build something good. Because you are in such a chase after building something perfect, you forget that you can actually build something that is really good, you know? It doesn't have to be perfect. It can never be perfect. So I think every entrepreneur should, you know, start small, and should obviously have a business plan, and know that you will never stick 100% to your business plan. Know that you will have to. I think of it as you know, driving a car. When you are on a lane, you don't always drive straight. It's never straight, right? Sometimes you have to turn left, sometimes you have to turn right. There's traffic light here. There's this car that you have to kind of, you know, get ahead of. And the same thing is entrepreneurship. You a little bit have to go, you know, to the right side and come up with this idea, a little bit to the left side and come up with another idea, adapt here, and drop this idea here. So it's never a straight path. You never think that you're going to write this amazing business plan on paper and it's going to come to life exactly how you envisioned it. There will be bumps on the way. There will be, I don't know, people, team members will leave you. You will get disappointed. Your idea will not fully come to life. But the key is to obviously to never give up. If you, like I said in the beginning of our life, if you've made that commitment, then you should stick to it. If it's your actual dream, if this is what you are committed to, you know, doing in life, then keep doing it. Success doesn't come, you know, in one day. There's this another quote that I like. If you want to fail, then do it fast. But if you want to see, do it slowly. Do not expect that, you know, overnight your business is going to become a sensation. That's what we actually thought in the beginning. We thought that we will announce that the doors of Baby Mama are open and hundreds of women will come and queue like they're queuing for the next Apple phone. It wasn't like that, of course. In the beginning, of course, it took.
A quick question, actually, now that you mentioned that, how long do you remember how long it took you to come to a point where you actually have, like, quite a number of people coming to Baby Mama?
I think it took us 2 months to build a client base, mm-hmm. around 2 months. But because we also, you know, we did a big opening and we invited a lot of bloggers, local celebrities. We tried to make the opening as, you know, big as possible, as loud as possible.
You started big and loud.
But it still doesn't mean that, you know, we had people lined up outside saying that, let me in into baby mama, I want to learn how to give birth myself, you know. It wasn't like that. So, which is absolutely normal. So we still learn new things every day. For example, right now, in the middle of a global pandemic, we have to adapt every single day that, for example, we... our center is now open 3 times a week because we don't want too many people coming in to lower the rates of infection or to hopefully not to get infections. And that is a challenge because, I mean, it is a challenge because we cannot call in all the team members. We cannot have our usual brainstorming sessions like we do, I don't know, twice a month. We obviously don't have the same number of customers right now, but those are the kind of, you know, we actually a couple of hours ago had our call with my business partner thinking about our plan for the summer. And just an hour ago, we were informed that the quarantine conditions will be stricter again. Which means that we have to adapt again tomorrow. I just adapted a couple of hours. Yes. I have to adapt again. So
I just got out of it. I mean, just now. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, so, people can go a little slow with this, and because it's also important, of course, our health and everything else, but in order for businesses to continue working as well and for us being able to attend all these places, it's quite...
Yeah, because the well-being of our customers and team members is
priority number one.
Yeah, that's much more important than, you know, us making money. And also one thing that I want to say to people that are thinking of starting a business is that, like I said, we all generate ideas, and I'm the number one generator of all sorts of ideas. But just because you come up with a great idea, it doesn't mean that you should jump at it straight away. I have friends who, you know, are good cooks or good chefs, and then, you know, a group of friends encourages them and says that, you know, you should open a restaurant. You're such a great cook. You should totally have a restaurant. No, just because you're a good cook, it doesn't mean that you should open a restaurant. I mean, it's great to have that skill. It's great to know how to cook. It's obviously going to be a great advantage, but it doesn't mean that you are ready to being a manager and an entrepreneur and being a good cook are completely
all that responsibility on you. Absolutely.
Those are completely different skill sets. I was actually reading, which I really, really recommend, Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential book. He there talks about, you know, different kinds of what basically happens in the kitchen in the background of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And he said that at one time he worked for this couple, and their friends encouraged them to start a business because they would host these amazing parties in their house. But obviously very soon that business, you know, went bankrupt because friends, you know, got tired of supporting their friend's business. Just because you have a big, you know, circle of friends and you're popular or you're a great cook, those sort of things are not... will not be measurements of your business success. Or for example, some people come up with overcomplicated ideas where, I don't know, I've heard some people come up with, I'm going to open this bowling nightclub place, which also in the morning turns into a brunch spot for kids and moms. And you're like, no, you're all over the place. Don't overcomplicate it. Just start with the bowling alley.
Right. I think that's one of the things I always hear from most entrepreneurs as well. Like, we try to complicate things for some reason. We have the idea, especially. Like, we have the idea, but then we try to add this and that and that and that and then make it really complex. But just go with simplicity. You have the idea. Start with it first. try to experiment, see if it's really something like what people want. One of my favorite for investments accelerator programs, Y Combinator, like when you go to the website, it says make something that people want. Like that's one of the, and I think your business worked really well with that. It's something that people wanted, something that didn't exist, and you started off really simple. But I see now, and from like your stories, like you're already adding, you slowly added other services. You just didn't have everything at once, but you just discovered, you explored, you understood that, oh, let's add this. Oh, we're going to need this. And it's something that took you time. It wasn't just at once.
And it's important to keep analyzing your customer client base all the time. That, for example, okay, my customers come in. One customer said that they would be interested in, I don't know, dance classes. Just because one customer said that, that doesn't mean that you should straight away jump at that idea and go start dance classes. Sit down, and we always do customer analysis, always, and see, you know, what kind of customers are interested, what age customers want to come to Baby Spa, from which area, which social media they use, what kind of other services they're interested in. There are so many questions to be answered with the help of your client base, because like I said, as an entrepreneur, you identify a problem and then you fix that problem for your customer.
And I have so many questions. Like, I don't want this to end.
We need a cup of coffee. We need to go on
forever. They need to go grab their tea and coffee. Do that, because this conversation is going on for a bit. We do have some questions as well from people, so I'm going to ask that. Let me just move on to, did you ever think or imagine yourself that one day you would actually own a business and have a team to lead?
That's a good question. I thought I would end up working for the government. I thought I would be a diplomat. That's the sort of future I envisioned for myself, to be honest. And I'm not going to lie, I was very disappointed and a little bit heartbroken when I realized that that's not the field for me. And this is something that I advise to a lot of parents. And this is something that I practice as a parent, just because you know, you have a vision for your child. It doesn't mean that you mean well, obviously, because you know, you think that this kind of a profession would be good for your child. But I think kids should be allowed to explore and experiment themselves, and to find what exactly is of interest for them. You could, as a parent, you could all obviously give them some guidance, but the decision should ultimately be the child's decision. So yeah, like I said, I thought I wanted to be a diplomat, but ended up myself in a different field, which suits my personality much more.
And is this something that you'd rather continue for, let's say, the rest of your life, like continue, maybe even add another business, let's say? Is this the kind of life you'd like to go, like an entrepreneur life?
Yeah, because it also gives you freedom. Obviously, I'm still involved with my business all the time, but gives me freedom that, for example, some days in the morning, was especially now because kids don't have school, I spend mornings with the kids and then I go to work. Like tomorrow, I'm going to be doing homework with them in the morning, and then by lunchtime, I will go to work, you know. Or for example, I have the freedom to, when there was school and when things were normal, I would leave work not at 6, I would leave work at 5. And then I would have a chance to take my kids to different classes, to different activities. So I think I would want to, down the line, continue maybe explore other business ventures, because I have a lot of ideas, but it doesn't mean that all of those ideas are good.
We're gonna see you everywhere, I'm sure. Based on this, you've managed to keep yourself motivated quite well. And we do have a question here as well from Esra. says, what do you do to avoid burning mentally, like burnout? What do you do? And how do you keep yourself so motivated between all the work, motherhood, like making sure like everything goes well? How do you manage?
For me, there are just certain activities that help me to avoid burning out mentally. One of them is, for example, working out. I work out religiously, and it is something that, you know, when I'm working out, I'm working out, and I give 100% of myself to the workout, and I feel great afterwards, and I try not to use my phone. It's just me burning calories for an hour and a half, and it really resets me. Really, I try to work out in the morning. It really prepares me for the day, and it obviously gives you a boost of happy hormones, and you're just, you know, energized for the day. I started meditating. Been meditating for a couple of 2 years now. Obviously, I don't do it every single day. I try to do it a couple of times a week, and that's something that also, I mean, there are obviously times when you feel anxiety or you feel stressed about something. And I like to, even at work, take my time. I've told my team that when I come into the office, don't come asking me questions straight away. I come in, I need my 5 minutes to drink my coffee, to just, you know, plan out my day, and then you can come and approach me. You can come to me with all of my questions. Because you
know the questions.
Yeah, because usually as soon as I come in, it's like, this. I'm like, oh, no. So that's important that, you know, I get
your own, like, bubble space, and you've clarified it to the people. So this is what I need and yes, for people to understand, and which helps you as well in terms of staying.
Yeah, you set your boundaries. Exactly. You say that, okay, I come in, great, obviously, let's get working, let's solve problems, but first couple of, you know, minutes I need to myself. And similarly in the evening when kids go to work, kids go to sleep, I also try to meditate. And I also have surrounded myself with inspirational people. That every single friend of mine that I have is an inspiration. Somebody's an inspiration because they have an amazing successful blog. Somebody's an inspiration because they work for a government structure. Somebody's an inspiration because they are so creative. Somebody because they are an amazing mom. So those kind of things, they always, those kind of interactions, they always, you know, put me on the right, in the right mood. Because when you surround yourself with positive, like-minded, successful people, then you become like them. If you're not like them, you become like them, you know? If you surround yourself with people who are whining, who complaining all the time, who just, you know, only see negativity, then you fall into that trap as well. So yeah, those are the tips that you can do to avoid burning mentally.
Yeah, I think one thing I probably need, slowing down. Meditation, I honestly tried, long time. I think during university, it wasn't something I managed, to be honest. Maybe because of my energy, maybe because of impatience, I'm not sure what it is. I've tried like yoga and all that, but I think maybe one day I need to put myself fully in it, and then I'll understand it better. So I don't know, I couldn't manage it. I think because of energy and impatience, and I feel like I have to complete this and that and that, so I never somehow managed to come to that level yet.
But I think that for different people, for people, meditation could be different. It doesn't really mean that you just have to sit still for 15 minutes in one spot and to just think about something. Or, you know, like, it doesn't have to be that. I realized a couple of months ago, I had this epiphany that, you know, praying in Islam is actually meditation. So, for example, that could be a type of meditation that people do. Going on a walk by the sea is kind of meditation. Mm-hmm. Something that just cleanses you.
Protecting yourself from the work, the thoughts, I guess, something that really keeps you like out of it. Like you don't actually think about all the tasks you have to complete.
Yeah, because it can really bog you down and you just, you know, keep ticking things off your list.
What about your team? I think like what we were talking about, the successful business building it, I think one of the most important parts is building your team. How like once you built it, did you ever like think about, oh, one day I may have to fire someone, how will I do it? Or I don't know if you ever had to go through it, and I hope no one has to go through it, but I think it's a difficult process. But did you like ever think that, oh my God, would I ever be able to fire someone? I think it's a, quite a important and difficult, challenging, let's say, point when you start business.
That's a good question. Thankfully, I haven't had to fire anyone so far.
Yeah.
But also some people that joined our team in the beginning stages, and then later on they found themselves, you know, not fitting into the team or not not okay with the structure of work, or had, I don't know, some other kind of problems, they left the team themselves, and they're happy, we're happy, you know, there were no conflicts involved. It wasn't a painful kind of breakup. But I guess I think teams is what make businesses and companies great, that you could have an amazing manager on the top, but if you don't have a good team, then your ideas will not come true, they will not come live. And I think as a manager or as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, you constantly have to be in touch with the team and to see where they stand, because you know, they're obviously not robots and they get tired. They also have bad days. We, in the morning, you know, we always chat with the team members and talk about our days, talk about our sick kids, talk about some clients, you know, because we deal with so much positivity during the day. We see babies, we see pregnant women, we see there's so much positivity in the center overall. And the team members, we find ourselves very often, you know, just talking for hours about this cute baby that we just wanted to bite, and he was just so funny and his parents are so wonderful, you know. I think it's very important to keep that kind of spirit. Mm-hmm. And to empower your team members for sure, because without them, this is what I always say, we said this back at Semri Bala to our team, and I say this here at Baby Mama as well, that without the team there would be no Baby Mama. There would only be an idea on paper that one day could come true, could happen, but it happens thankfully to them, and I'm grateful to them every single day. I'm grateful that they are with us, and I'm grateful that, you know, they support any sort of crazy ideas. Mm-hmm. And that they support any sort of, there was door opened, any sort of, you know, for example, at one point we started doing these TV programs for this channel, local channel. Yeah, and
see you a couple of times. Yeah, she was on TV a couple of times.
Yeah, and twice a week the TV channel would come to our center and they would film the specialists, and they had to step out of their comfort zone, because one thing is working one-on-one with the customers, mm-hmm. and another thing is, you know, saying smart things in front of the camera. And for some people, it was very difficult to step out of that comfort zone. But you as a leader obviously have to empower them and say that, no, you are the best. You speak so well. You're so beautiful, this and that. Everybody has doubts. Everybody has fears. And this is what I enjoy seeing, that, you know, when our team members, they support us, And when they are also interested in baby mama growing and developing, we regularly have our brainstorming sessions where we, you know, come up with new ideas and think about how to make them come true. We celebrated New Year together, for example. We did this gingerbread decorating masterclass together, women of different ages and of different backgrounds. And we obviously have only women working in our center. Around March 8th, we celebrated, went to like a karaoke bar, and we all, you know, were singing songs and were not embarrassed to like to dance to silly songs in front of each other. So we are like a family at this point, and I am very, very grateful for that.
I've noticed actually from some of the founders that I spoke to in Turkey as well. Actually, there's one I really enjoy talking to who will join me sometime later, sometime later, I'm not sure. But she was also pointing out on her team a lot, and I also understand how much it meant for her to have a really good team, to have, it wasn't just like people working for her, but it was like you said, being able to go out and to motivate each other. Sometimes she said like, even she would she would get motivated, inspired by them, and be able to
lead. Sure.
It wasn't just her like leading the project. So I've noticed, and I, no matter what, yes, the product, yes, the business and getting the customer is important, but also being able to keep that team, keep that motivation and positivity in the company to create that, I think, culture in your company, I find it quite important in order for it to continue in the same same success.
A couple of months ago, I went to a seminar by this management guru. His name is Itzhak Hadizes. He's an 85-year-old man who's been coaching government leaders, big companies, and he came and gave a seminar in Baku. And basically, the biggest message of his, we paid quite a big sum of money to attend this seminar, and the biggest message of this speech that he gave to us for an hour and a half was love. Business is about love. And we're all sitting there and we're like, what is when did this turn into a meditation retreat? What is going on? You know, what is this message? But yeah, because if you as a founder, as an entrepreneur, as a manager, CEO, whatever your role is, do not put love into your business, and most importantly, he says that love should not be felt by the customers primarily. That is the mistake that a lot of businesses make. They think that the love should be felt by the clients. The love should be felt by the team members first, especially if you're in the service industry, by the clients first, which then will be transferred into your clients. So you give love to your team.
I'm so quoting this. I love it.
So you give love to your team, and then your team passes on that love to your customers. So a lot of businesses, like I said, they just think that, oh, let me please this customer. Let me give this customer this gift, or I don't know, let's sweeten them by doing this this service, this idea. But that's not the key. The key is to empower, encourage, inspire, love your team members, and then things will come true the way you envision them.
And I think the other way around, it maybe creates short-term relationship with the customer, but it's not long-term. It's not something where they come back for it, whether it's a user, a client. I think in this manner, that's how you manage to keep a longer relation with the customer.
For sure. We have some customers that, you know, have exchanged their numbers with their specialist, with the specialists that work in our center, and they just send, you know, pictures of their babies as they grow up. I don't know, meet in town and go for walks together. You know, they develop this very, very special bond, and they're always so excited and happy to see each other or to randomly run into each other. And these are the sort of things that the little things actually, those are the things that matter overall.
Yay. As we come to the end, which I don't want to actually, but because I'm really enjoying this, and
who am I?
Yeah, we have a lot of great comments as well. So thank you everyone for really staying up this long, watching, listening, giving comments, and asking questions. Now, what I wonder, what are your plans for the future, whether with Baby Mama or building or starting something new, or maybe going global or going to other countries with Baby Mama? What do you think?
That would be amazing. That is something that we obviously have considered, have thought about. Well, firstly, to start opening new chains, not just having one chain, and then hopefully one day to go global, since, I mean, because my partner lives in Paris. We've explored those options, but right now the global pandemic is in the way of making our dreams come true. So we probably, this will have to wait at least one more year.
Yeah, well, I hope to see, as I said, like, I see a need for it. Like, you started in Azerbaijan where people didn't know, and they just got used to it, got to know about it. But I'm sure there are other cities as well, like big cities, as I say, I'm sure people will agree, like in Istanbul. Like, or... I don't know. I mean, I do remember, because when you were building it, I remember searching for it as well. But there wasn't. So it's something nice, and something that's always, always needed.
Or something that's even more realistic is opening not just in Baku, but in different cities of Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
We always get these sort of actually proposals on our Instagram page, these messages that, why don't you open in Sumgayit? Why don't you open in Shamkir? Why don't you open... and obviously down the line, that would be an ideal scenario. And I, whenever I meet gynecologists or pediatricians, I always tell them that, you know, it would be amazing if every hospital would have a prenatal center within it, where ladies could come for, I mean, it doesn't have to be Baby Mama, because the goal is to, you know, educate women, to empower them, to make sure, you know, they bring to life, give birth to a healthy baby, are good moms. And if creating new centers like this, or new chains, or some sort of classes, courses within hospitals, or health, new health centers within hospitals for kids, for babies, that would be amazing. Basically, that should be the goal for, not globally, locally. And maybe one day we'll get there.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you. That's all I have actually for questions, although I have more, so I'll just continue asking later. But thank you so much for coming and telling us your story. I really enjoyed it, and it was great to hear about your challenges, how you solve your problems, your energy. Like you saying that, yes, you can practically conquer the world, you have that power. I feel that, honestly, from your energy, from the things that you do, you give that kind of positivity, and that you show that power that, yes, I'm capable of doing this, I will do this, I'll continue this. So I really hope you'll continue with the same energy, continue creating wonderful things, because you can. So yeah, and you have, you will. That's true. And if you have anything else to say, we'll just wrap it up here.
Thank you so much, Farida, for inviting me. I remember you very, very well from school. And I always remember you as this girl who, you know, was never afraid to try new things. And I always remember you, you would always be smiling. You never had this angsty teenager period where, you know, you were just angry, and where teenagers would usually be angry and negative. I always remember you smiling and happy and always surrounded by friends. And I remember you also always having genuine and real friendships with people, which I think is very, very important. Connecting with people is very important. And I know you still keep in touch with a lot of people from, you know, from school. And also, this kind of you know, platform that you have created for people. And I know that down the line it's going to grow and be bigger, because I know you don't give up. I know you, you know, if you set your mind to it, you make things happen, and everything is within your power. And I'm also very, very glad that, you know, your friends are supporting you, that people that you invite your, I wanted to say podcast, but to your YouTube channel, they're also very interesting people. I watched some of the interviews that you posted on your page. I know you will grow. I know you will conquer the world.
Like, so well.
I believe in you, and I believe that, you know, strong women, they all empower each other, and you empower us, and we empower you.
Thank you so much for that. Really nice. I'm going to have a really good sleep today. And before I close it, you guys, Baby Mama has a YouTube channel. And I invite you all to go and follow Baby Mama.
It's a new baby mama channel. It's
Baby Mama. Like,
separately. Yeah, I mean, we only opened it a couple of weeks ago, but hopefully there will be more videos there.
Let's follow, let's support, let's like share everything with everyone, and let us help it to grow. I'm sure it's gonna grow really fast. It's something that people definitely need and are interested to watch. I watched the first one and I enjoyed it. So yeah, wish you guys best of luck with Baby Mama. Hope you guys continue growing this positively, this wonderful. So thanks
thank
a lot.
Thank you
for having me. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, Farida.
Well done.